This episode is brought to you by Big Green Egg, the world's largest producer of ceramic charcoal grills, and also by Springer Mountain Farms, over 300 family farms raising birds in Georgia's Blue Ridge Mountains. Learn more at biggreenegg.com and springermountainfarms.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks again for joining us today. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are broadcasting live from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. You can check out our full lineup at heritageradionetwork.org/Charleston. We're a member-supported nonprofit radio, and we are brought to you here today by Springer Mountain Farms Chicken and Big Green Egg. And thanks again to Livestream, our neighbors in Bushwick, for providing us with the Mevo camera, so you can check out our live stream at Facebook. We're Heritage Radio. I'm so lucky today to be joined by Isaac Toops, the chef and owner of Toops Meadery and Toops South. Thank you, Isaac, for being with us today.
Thank you all. I always have a good time here in Charleston, the Southern Food and Wine Festival. Absolutely marvelous time. I'm always just playing around here. This year they got me working, but I'm not working hard. I'm hardly working. Is that
hardly
all right?
Hardly working. We're glad to hear that. Tell us a little bit about what you have on the docket for Charleston this weekend.
This weekend, I've already done a little Low Country Bowl versus a Southern Crawfish Bowl. We've already done that. We did a crawfish and corn bouillettes with a saffron and a crawfish bowl potato salad. And tomorrow, at Beer Battered and Fried, we've got Toops Meadery and Toops South's gratins, otherwise known as cracklins, the double fried pork belly. They make you want to slap your mama, and then your mama slap you back.
All right. You heard it here first, everybody. Heritage Radio Network. So, Isaac, we know you're from Cajun country. You're born and raised in Rain, Louisiana. Can you talk a little bit about your Cajun roots and maybe help our audience to distinguish between the Cajun and the Creole cuisine that's maybe more common in New Orleans?
Yeah, well, like they say, I was born and raised in Cajun cuisine. I was actually really lucky because my mother is a Prairie Cajun, my father's a Coastal Cajun, so I got both sides of the Cajun coin, which is really nice. I didn't realize that growing up, how nice I had it, but so my mother's side of the family had the rice dishes and the cochon de lait and the whole pig cookery, and my father's side had the raw oysters and crawfish and fish and shrimp dishes, which I've grown to remake and love.
Yeah.
And the difference mainly between, you know, the Cajun and Creole, and a lot of people, when they come to New Orleans, thinking they're getting straight Cajun or straight Creole, what they're actually getting is a blend of both of them. And that's not bad at all. It's wonderful food, but rarely do you get authentic Creole or authentic Cajun, so I try to reproduce that in both of my restaurants. And, the main difference between, with Creole, you get a lot of Spanish and African influences, and with the Cajun, you get the French and the Native American, but there's a lot of crossover. Everybody's got gumbo, and the gumbo's good.
Yeah. How would you say that your food might honor or depart from what is considered traditional Cajun, or how do you blend the two Cajun and Creole cuisines?
On both of the menus at both the restaurants, I have some overtly authentic Cajun dishes. You know, at Meadery, we have boudin, cracklins and dirty rice, and that's about as essential Cajun as it gets. At the same time, I do some things that wouldn't necessarily be considered Cajun, unless, of course, they're cooked by me and they're automatically Cajun. Ha-ha! I'll have lamb neck, but they're braising red wine and anchovy, more of a Spanish feel to them.
Okay.
And I do have a wide ranging of charcuterie items that you wouldn't all necessarily see in Cajun country, but I hold true to the standards of Cajun country, so where we don't really do any dry curing in Cajun country. You hang sausage out, in down south, and you're going to get a rotten sausage. So I don't do any dry curing. What I would do is smoking and confiting and curing and air drying and cracklings and fresh charcuterie. So I keep it true to the vibe of Cajun culture and the fresh charcuterie.
Okay. So it sounds like you are obviously influenced by your environment on a technical level and a spiritual level. How would you say that you are pushing the envelope to create something new? And is that presenting a bit of a conflict with also presenting traditional Cajun cuisine?
Not at all. I kind of like do whatever I like. And the food is always better when I'm doing it that way. So you take a guy, what do you do with a guy who's been raised and braised in Cajun culture his entire life, moves to New Orleans, works in fine dining under Emeril Lagasse for 10 years. I can get any ingredient in the world. So with that, it's like, well, you came from Cajun country. He worked for Emeril Lagasse for 10 years. He's done fine dining, and he can get anything he wants. Well, what does he do with that? And you get exactly what I do. And that's Cajun cuisine with sometimes a twist, sometimes a tweak, sometimes very straightforward, but it's always guttural. It's always very it's always very rich and lavish. I don't shy away from, you know, the richness of my food. That's what I like to eat. That's what I like to cook, and that's who I am.
Yeah, well, don't be shy. Thank you so much. So you just opened Tube South. That's your new restaurant in the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in NOLA Central City. What was the process like opening a second place, and how have you expanded your Cajun roots to include more typical Southern cuisine? Any major discoveries there?
Well, we had a problem at the Toops Meadery, our original restaurant. We had too many customers. Too many customers, and we couldn't seat them down. So it's like, you know what? We need a second restaurant.
Yeah.
So the Southern Food and Beverage Museum said, hey, we've got a restaurant. I'm like, hey, I'm Southern. Holy hell. So we got together, and, couldn't imagine doing anything else in a Southern Food and Beverage Museum or anywhere else for that matter. I'm a Southern man. I cook Southern food. But since the Meadery was very contemporary Cajun or modern Cajun, we said, let's branch out and let's do all of the South. So a little bit of Texas barbecue. We have Aaron Franklin's original smoker back there. I couldn't see not using the damn thing. But we're not a traditional barbecue shop. So we'll smoke foie gras and we'll smoke whole goats and we'll smoke lamb legs.
Wow.
And things of that nature at the same time. And Charleston, you know, I fell in love with crab fat, so we make crab fat butter, which we make with we serve that with crab with buttermilk biscuits. So buttermilk biscuits and crab fat butter, giant pork chops that in a big stack with a knife sticking through them, smoked lamb leg, smoked foie gras terrine, and a whole bunch of rich in-your-face dishes.
Wow!
You'll find vegetables there on occasion.
But do they have crab butter on them?
Well, yeah. Why not?
The only way I'd want to find them at Tube South.
You're right.
Thank you. So Mardi Gras just wrapped. How are you feeling?
Mardi Gras is always hectic. It's good and busy. The city is always alive. It's rich in culture, and Mardi Gras is no different. You can fly your freak flag high,
and
the person next to you has got it even higher, so no worries.
Do you have any Mardi Gras stories for us from your restaurants?
I've got a bunch of R-rated ones. I don't know what we can tell.
Do you have anything PG-13 plus?
PG-13 plus. Yeah. Well, one time we were having a crawfish bowl outside of my house, and a guy wanted me to fist fight me over some crawfish. Well, this guy didn't realize that while I was sitting down, I stood up. I was about 6 inches over him. Everybody starts to giggle. And this guy wants to really fight me. My wife gets in front of me and says, I'm going to knock your ass out myself if you don't get out of my house. Everybody had a good time. It's about a PG of 13 of stories you're going to get.
That's pretty good. We can push the envelope with one more if you want.
Let me see. I tend not to remember a lot of them. It's good Mardi Gras. Any good Mardi Gras stories, baby? I'm looking at my wife. Like, which one can I tell?
How about any stories that you'd like to share from Top Chef? You were on with a good friend of mine and my fiance's, Marjorie Meek Bradley. You did really well on Top Chef. How did that influence where you are now, or any crazy stories you can tell us from that time?
You know what? I got a great story. It was the final four of us. Me, Marjorie, Jeremy, and Carl. They bring us to eat, and Hubert Keller, he has cooked us a meal himself. And Emeril Lagasse is pouring wine, and he's sitting right next to me and just tapping my shoulder as he talks, and I'm trying not to be enamored, but I am, and his French accent is enticing. He's talking about this story where he moved down to San Francisco, and his English was not very good, and he goes down to the store to buy some beer, and he brings it back to his wife. He's like, this beer tastes very weird. He bought root beer.
Oh.
One night, Hubert Keller cooked me a meal and Emeril Lagasse poured me wine. So how are you going to top that?
I was in tears watching that episode.
Yeah, it was
good.
It
was intense.
Also, the other story I've been trying to tell everybody is Jose Andreas. I made cornbread in the desert with a solar oven, and it didn't make it to TV, so I've been telling everybody else that Jose Andreas said I made him the best cornbread he had ever had, ever. So,
wow.
Ha!
So
in
there.
In an oven with the power of the freaking sun, y'all.
So there. You've harnessed the
harness
earth,
the power of the sun.
That's amazing, Isaac.
It was cool. It was a cool experience.
That's so cool. So I like to give everybody who's on the show here a chance to shout out someone in their community or an organization that you might know who's just doing great work in the food space. Do you want to give big ups to anybody?
You know, just off the top of my head, Howard Connors is a guy I just kind of got to know, and he's a whole goat smoker, and he's a whole pig smoker. He does some very traditional barbecue works, and he's also a NASA scientist. So he's a nuclear engineer who does whole hog and whole goat cookery. I think it's like one of the most fascinating things that I've seen recently. It's like, what do you mean you're an astrophysicist? What are you doing smoking whole pigs? It's like, I love it. I'm like, okay. I got nothing on that. So shout out to him bringing back traditional barbecue and whole hog cookery.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So please check out Isaac Toups, Toups Meadery, Toups South, T-O-U-P-S. Where can our listeners find you on the internet?
On the internet, Toups Meadery and ToupsSouth.com. And what's our Instagram? Toups Meadery, Toups South on Instagram, Facebook, and all the other webbous things.
All right, go to New Orleans, everybody. Mardi Gras just ended. Crowds are dying down a little bit. Go to Toups Meadery. Go to Toups South. Chat with Isaac Toups.
And get your cracklings on. Thank you all so much.
Thanks for being with us today on Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you all.
All right. We're going to take a short break, and then Sam Benrubi, host of The Grape Nation, will be taking over to chat with some very special guests about barbecue and wine. Thanks, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Big Green Egg, the world's largest producer of ceramic charcoal grills. In business since 1974, they've transformed ancient cooking vessels into modern-day masterpieces. Today, they sell 7 sizes of the egg, as well as hundreds of accessories designed to make your cooking fun, entertaining, and delicious. Often copied but never equaled, the Big Green Egg is the ultimate cooking experience. Learn more at biggreenegg.com. This episode is also brought to you by Springer Mountain Farms, over 300 family farmers raising birds in Georgia's Blue Ridge Mountains. Many of them are second and even third generation. They're committed to doing things the right way. Springer was one of the first poultry companies to forego the use of antibiotics, and they've embraced other humane practices too. In fact, they were the first poultry company to earn the American Humane Association Seal of Approval. Learn more at springermountainfarms.com.